Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and we are talking our Round 6 waiver wire pickups, our top fives, a bit of trades and the Statesman skippers. And as always on the show is Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing okay. Looking forward to the weekend in between the football matches. Seems like we've got a big break until Tuesday night. I don't like this at all. Don't understand it. And it's just left me... I'm a simple man, Jonathan, and I can't handle these sort of things. I'm just confused.
Just throws you right out. Well, we could do it. They should do it like what the NRL do. Wednesday, they got the rugby on, and that's the start of the round, not the end of the round like we do in the AFL. So it makes a bit more sense if they do it that way.
Yeah, I would have thought so, because, I mean, they have Thursday night football. What's the... it's just confused me. I mean, when are waivers going to clear? Friday?
Friday morning. I mean, what the hell are going to do for my late-week pickups? Put it as a waiver.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you will have got your late week pickups as your waiver claim, so yeah.
Pretty much. So crazy. It just makes it null and void. But you must be pretty happy with your boy Fiorini, with your other boy Aaron Hall being dropped for this week. Gets the ton.
I don't think Fiorini's my boy, but yeah, I will have a little chat about that situation because... in our things we notice, but I think someone else has got dibs on Fiorini.
And that looks like a nicely, freshly painted living room as well. And welcome to you, Statesman.
Hello, gentlemen. It's wonderful to be back. I must admit, most of this week, other than trying to catch up on the work I'm behind in my real career, but the second thing I'm going to do is muster as many audition tapes for salary cap competitions and podcasts absolutely possible, because I cannot buy a draft win in any format in any of the competitions I'm involved. Quite honestly, I've been absolutely cursed, but on the other hand, on the salary cap, I've been absolutely blessed. I think sitting in the top 1,000 even in Supercoach as we speak, and also right up there in the two dream teams, of course. But draft, gentlemen, I'm just struggling.
Well, it happens to everyone. You just got to come down for a year, rebuild, and that's what happens when you draft or bring in all over 30-year-old players.
No, that's the comeback.
Speaking of injuries and old players, there was a fair few this week. We saw Jack Nunes decided to ram his head into... Cade Simpson's hip with a bit of a KO there. That's a bit of a wait and see. We know these days that when you do get KO'd, a lot of teams like to put him on ice for 1 week. Scotty Selwood also KO'd from a Lindsay Thomas hip and shoulder, as some people are trying to talk it up in the media, but I think Lindsay Thomas is in a bit of trouble on that one. Matty Tabner, he's actually been pretty good fantasy-wise this year, has a broken metatarsal, so I have no idea how long it takes to repair a metatarsal. I know it's a bone in the foot, so he's actually been pretty good, so wait and see for the injury reports midweek on that one. Torrey Dixon has done the ham bone, to wait and see on that one. And Sean Higgins, absolutely KO'd from Ryan Burton.
Yeah, who would have guessed a day old and his kid's already an orphan? That's unbelievable.
They'll be sharing a hospital bed tonight there at the Epworth or wherever the hell they had the kid. But that is bad luck. His son was born, or kid was born, first thing this morning, play a game of football and doing pretty well. And Ryan Burton, who, well, is sputting it up this week, is trying to get in the media and knocks a bloke out. But that was accidental, sir. But again, he's coming under the match review. And Darcy McPherson was looking all right there in the Q clash. Kicked a couple of snags and went off with a right ankle injury as well. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got a couple of new writers there in Cameron Downing and Sam Porter with a DPP watch and an injury report, as well as our Statesman skippers, Steve's A Dozen Deal and my late week pickup article for your listening pleasure. And check out the Facebook as well. Search The Draft Doctors there. But we are going to kick it off with the top five things we've noticed this week. And why don't you kick us off, Steve?
Yeah, John, I also just want to mention we've had a lot of requests for the merch. The shirts will be on the shop this week on the website. So
nice. You can Very nice.
You know, show your love of bad podcasts and bad fantasy football advice. Now, I just want to say, like, we forget how small of a sample size 1 month is, right? Like, Jack Billings was on fire at the end of last year, but he actually had a slow first 6 weeks. Michael Hurley finished averaging 100, but he actually had a slow start. Like, let's just not overreact too much. We knew there was going to be players that we didn't have ranked that sort of came out of nowhere and were great, like your Jeremy Finlaysons. But you built your season-long rankings for a reason. Like, I just think there's so much of an overreaction to the first month. And you can always look at situations and go, is this going to continue or is it just an overreaction? We'll talk about a guy I think is a fantastic buy opportunity in the deal section. And it's just the numbers say things aren't as bad as it's being painted. But, you know, otherwise you got Dane Zorko and things do look kind of bad. Also, I want to notice that the stats, the matchups, the value we all have is, at best, it's a rough guide. That's what we use it as a rough guide, because there is a human element that is just absolutely unpredictable. Or maybe if your process was better, it would be predictable. I'm talking about, we looked at the Aaron Hall situation, and when he was playing without Gary Ablett, he was fire. And when Jared Lyons was playing without Gary Ablett, wasn't so good. So naturally you think, oh, well, Gary Ablett's moved on. I had Hall ranked pretty high. I thought Lyons was fine. But new coach, new belief systems, and the processes got gone out the window. We saw during the weekend Michael Barlow tweet out something rather a negative little video about Ross Lyon, and Reece Palmer's jumped in, one of our old favourites, Reece, saying that coaches don't always play their best 22. And you know, Michael Barlow's sitting around racking up 45 touches in the NEAFL.
Well, didn't even play in the NEAFL this week.
Yeah, it's just amazing. We just don't understand what the human element is inside the four walls of a footy club, do we?
Well, I reckon after looking at Stuart Dew today that he might have eaten Michael Barlow.
Alrighty. We'll just... old Fabio on the podcast there. No worries there. A man has risen from the dead. That's always good to see. Brett Deledio, you are fantasy relevant. Actually, a little bit of a humble brag. Did bring him into my salary cap team this week. So, very happy to take the 150. But he's sitting out on the wing doing all sorts of good things. And they've got some good matchups coming. So, I mean, hey, if you got Brett Deledio, little pats on the back for you. A few guys I want to talk about from the teams I look at who are DPP possibilities with the changes coming up in your formats. I think it's this week for AFL Fantasy, next week for Ultimate Footy. Ryan Griffin looks like adding forward status, although he has only played the two games. So whether that's enough of a sample size, we'll see. Justin Westhoff could add every position. but ruck's a possibility. So there. And Jack Zeeble looks always a big chance to add the forward status. So we'll check out Sam Porter's article during the week and what he thinks about those guys and some more.
How good would Jack Zeeble be as a forward if you got the status?
I mean, probably...
No, the status.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about where he'd be, because he's basically about a 90 averaging player. It's not like he's... It's not like he's really
good if he can move him to the forward line, though.
Yeah, I guess so. If you've got a replacement midfield, he's quite good. And, you know, well done to North. What a great win for them today.
Absolutely. Well, there's Stewie Jew on screen, and whew, he has eaten Michael Barlow. And Statesman, who have you got there? What have you got there for your top five?
Well, first, the hard tag is back, and this makes our loophole, so our captain options, more important than ever. And you look through nearly every single game we had this weekend so far, admittedly, it's not all rounds, have actually had a hard tag on. So even a few clubs that I was a little bit surprised of who they're tagging with, and Jaron Redden, for example, was on a hard tag this week. So it seems to be in vogue. And when you put on a hard tag and two people running a hard tag for North Melbourne, and then you pop up with a win against a club they probably, most people were expecting they have a loss to, it actually becomes a lot more important. And you look at the Gold Coast situation as well. They put on a tag, they get the win. The tag works well. People start following suit. So it looks like it's back, gentlemen. The next one is the poster is worthy. Isaac Heaney's last three quarters were sensational. This bloke is going to truly be not only a football star, but a fantasy star as well. So he had a pretty slow start. He was in single figures at quarter time and still able to be the highest scorer of the game for 110 in his last three quarters.
Speaking of your boy there, Statesman, I don't know if you get AFL game day there in Tasmania, but they had a competition going with best rig in the AFL. It was Isaac Heaney, Daylight, and then Buddy Franklin. So just goes of to course. Show your boy's up there in everything.
Absolutely, and I'm unsure of what program you're talking about. If it's anything to do with television, we've just got internet so we can live stream, but none of this stuff on television. I noticed that when I went to Melbourne. Obviously a new invention, but it'll come soon, no doubt. My third one, only seven games so far, and there simply was not enough footy this weekend. Thankfully, fantasy footy wasn't around when there were only 12 teams, because I just would have gone bonkers. And I am so busy in my life, but still only seven games of footy wasn't enough for a weekend.
No, it certainly wasn't, especially this afternoon. Oh, it was 1 o'clock. I think I put the game on. Nope, My Kitchen Rules repeats or something like that. I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Ridiculous. I'd done the hike in the morning, so went up halfway up the mountain and back, and all done nice, finished early, midday, have a good, nice big lunch, and then no footy to sit down and watch. Oh, well, such is life. West Coast still struggle when they travel to Melbourne. And they were against Carlton, who are not playing good footy and missing quite a few key players, especially through the midfield. And they only just got the win with only one player turning up. So just be mindful of that when you're looking loopholes, the bench options. The West Coast Eagles players just do not score well when they travel to Melbourne.
You're forgetting that they were up against the best Kerno and the in the competition, who just continues to be a captain option every week.
Absolutely, he does. And last but not least, I'm throwing this one for you to answer, Steve. Zorko, really struggling with the attention. Will he come back is the question. And what do you do with him, Steve, now?
We've actually seen him just get traded in our home league this week. Quite shockingly, you've got a hold. I mean, if someone's going to offer you name value, then fine, you can ship him out. But I had him pretty low for a redraft this year based on last year's average. I think I had him in the early 20s. So I was never, I sort of thought this was a possibility. I think you've got a hold and sort of hope that maybe Brisbane are so bad they stop trying to tag him. Because it's a bad situation.
Agreed. And they're my five.
Thank you very much. Going on your tag there, Statesman, Jack McRae, I think for the first time in his career, got a hard tag on him from Bailey Banfield. I've never seen it before. And that just stopped the Bulldogs' drives out of the centre clearances. And even when this was happening, the Bont was still playing deep forward, and I was actually pretty frustrated for the first time in a long time as a Bulldog supporter that when one of your best midfielders getting a hard tag, you need that bigger body midfielder to help win those centre clearances and get some drive going, but it just didn't happen. So, the Bulldogs up against the Blues with the best Kerno in the league, so it'll be interesting to see if he goes up against him head-to-head with McRae this weekend. My second point, Tom Mitchell, I reckon, is in a bit of trouble this week. Somehow got to Todd Goldstein's head with an elbow behind the play, so didn't look good. But Goldie's come out on the news and said that he didn't feel it, but you know, when you're up in the upper stratosphere and being so tall, you wouldn't. But it didn't look good, and maybe just a bit of frustration with that hard tag coming to Tommy Mitchell 2 weeks in a row and just taking it out on the first player he could find. But I reckon he might be in for 1 week there, Tommy Mitchell, so not good if you own the titch. What the hell is up with the fantasy scoring at the moment? We saw this week, you put it out, Steve, on the Twitterverse, on Friday night, that no mids are scoring big points unless you're a fire for a danger. It was all the forwards and the defenders this week, which is very interesting. So not too sure if that's just the fast play that's happening and the contests aren't there, but certainly something to keep an eye on if you got these midfielders. I mean, like we saw Bont, he didn't do anything. Swallow, it was just mainly your defenders and forwards this week.
Yeah, it depends what style of game's going on. Like, there's so many games that are very low stoppage. The ball's getting out of the contest really quickly. So that's obviously not going to lead to great scoring for your midfielders, like especially the inside mids. But, you know, like at GWS, the mids seem to be scoring well for them and against them. I don't know. It's interesting, though, isn't it, John?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's just even noticing it throughout the whole round. I kept an eye on it when you tweeted out, and you could just see the patterns there. And my last one, if you don't have him in a keeper league or he's floating around in the pool in your keeper league, I'd be grabbing this guy. It's Tom Doty from Adelaide Crows. Only a handful of games into his career, and he is the new Jake Lever intercept marker for that team. Filled the spaces really well on Friday night against the Swans, really helping out that defence. Again, also Paul Season was really good, so it'd be interesting to see how the dynamics work when they get Brody Smith back into that team. But he looks to be scoring really well and one to be there for the long term. And that's all my top five for this week. We're moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we talk about our waiver wire pickups, we've got our 65% or less rule on ultimate footing. And kicking it off this week, my number one pick is Hayden Crozier from the Western Bulldogs. Owned in 29% of teams, he's coming back from injury either this week or next week. The Doggies are desperate for someone who can now use the ball and mark the ball as well inside 50. So I'll be looking to grab Hayden Crozier. Jason Castagna from the Tigers in 37% of teams. He's really playing well as that small pressuring forward. He's getting tackles and goals each and every week. Doesn't need a heap of disposals, similar to what we saw Cirioli early in his career as that hassling small forward. Really liking what he's been doing the last couple of weeks. Sam Mays might get a game this week, but Tommy Cutts actually had a pretty good game, but he's 54% of teams. Had 31 possessions and 10 marks in the kneeful this week, so looking to get a recall, just been a little bit out of form. And the next two are Carlton players. I've got Aaron Mullett, 57% of teams, and Liam Jones, 4%, coming up against the Dogs, who are the worst kicking team in the AFL at the moment. So going inside 50, there's plenty of balls to be chipped off, intercepted there for the Carlton defenders and rebounds, so might be able to score some points for you this week. What have you got there, boys? Steve?
Yeah, I didn't actually... Crozier, that's an interesting one, actually. I don't mind that, but I've got players that are completely different to you, Jono, so there's going to be some interesting priorities. My number one priority this week is a forward for your Western Bulldogs. That is Lin Jong, only owned in 40% of leagues. He's actually been pretty good the last 3 weeks with a 70, a 79, and a 92. Dream team coming up against Carlton. Mid-forwards absolutely go pretty well against Carlton, so I certainly like that pickup. Number two, got Richard Douglas, 62% ownership, is a midfielder. Playing against Gold Coast this week, they're on a six-day break. After 6 weeks of travel, they've just won an emotional Q clash, so I think he's pretty handy. If I could find any Adelaide forwards, actually, like Tex Walker's owned in like 75% of league, so he might be floating around in your league as well. My third pickup, forward for Carlton, Zach Fisher, 51% ownership, went ham this week. He's certainly getting a gig. And mids can score against the Bulldogs. Number four, got Matt Kennedy. We know he's injured. He missed this week. with an ankle. It's TBC on the injury report, so we'll see how serious that is, but I certainly think he's a pretty handy pickup. Number five defender for North Melbourne, Ryan Clark, 64% ownership. Has got two tough matchups coming, but he was someone we sort of liked as a lottery ticket in the preseason. He had a good score today, so something to keep an eye on. A super coach special, Scott D. Thompson, only owning 29% of leagues on Ultimate Footy, but in the Supercoach leagues, he's averaging in the mid-90s, a bit of a throwback to when he was in the middle of his career, so he's turned it around and is scoring great just every week. And the last one is Mitch McGovern, forward for Adelaide. Scores 93, 70 and 87 in the last 3 weeks, and he has got Gold Coast on that six-day break. He was only... he was lowly owned, I forget what it was. I think it was mid-30% ownership, so he's certainly available. I know waiver-wise, I didn't add anyone from the midweek games just because they might get injured. Who knows?
That's right. And who have you got there, Statesman?
Yeah, most of mine have been taken. I did have Mitch McGovern. He was 37% owned, 36% drafted. Have a couple other forwards just to quickly hook up on. Hugh McCluggage, even though he's named as a forward, he's actually playing on the wing for Brisbane and starting to get a few scoring games put together, although it was against the Gold Coast this week. But in the 90s, I think he had 14 possessions in the first quarter. So number one draft pick, obviously a highly classy player. He's hit 20 years of age. He's starting to get a few games under his belt and starting to play some pretty good footy. So Hugh McCluggage, who is 58% owned. Mitch Honeychurch, impressed with his role on the weekend against Fremantle. Actually scored a ton. It's his first one for the year. He's been solid without being amazing, but the ton's got his average up to 75. He's only owned by 19%, so you can get him in most leagues, and worthwhile actually getting him for a few weeks on your bench. And Mav Weller, not as attractive as his younger brother, only 21% owned, but look, good hard nut. I think St Kilda probably think that they missed having his grunt around. 97 was his score for the week, and I think he will stay in, although there could be a few changes at the club, so just be careful with selection there.
Just on that Honeychurch one, I had him on my list there, but just looking at it, Lockie Hunter was out with that suspension this week and was playing between the arcs, so I think Hunter comes back in, takes his role, and he's scoring potential there, but Honeychurch has been scoring well, so just a watch there, and they might use him on another wing. To wait and see.
Absolutely.
And if you are liking the show, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the 5-star rating button and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. It really helps our brand. But, Steve, I saw it on Twitter that someone tweeted us, why do people announce that we're on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud and that when they're actually listening to the show? I thought it was actually a pretty interesting question.
I have thought about it myself, to be honest, Jono. But all I can come up with is I've busted my phone this week, all right? I screwed up. I forgot that I'd left the captain option on Zorko. I hadn't moved it over to Brody Grundy. My phone's now destroyed. It's absolute toast, okay? Thrown it against the wall. Baby Fizz stomped on it for a little while. It's gone. But I had an Apple phone, iPhone, whatever they're called. So I used Apple Podcast. And you've been listening to the Apple Podcast. And we know a lot of people are leaving the Apple branch. They're moving back to the,
Android.
The Android, that's right. So where do they go? Well, if they're leaving Apple, where do they go, Jono?
Well, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, Podparadise.
But they know. They know if they've been listening.
That's right.
They've been bought into submission. And you know, they can listen to on different devices. Or maybe they steal their friend's phone. They're such loyal listeners of the show. They steal their friend's phone and go, I'm going to subscribe on their device.
Exactly right. Exactly right. But we got a few trades up our sleeve this week, do we, Steve?
I've got a great buy option, and that is Jack freaking Billings. I saw on Twitter this week, people think Jack Billings is maybe the worst player of all time. You know, let's be honest. Things aren't all that bad for Jack Billings, all right? He's still averaging over 20 touches. Basically, everything's the same as last year. It's just fractionally down. He's down a kick a game, and he just hasn't hit the scoreboard. That's it.
No, his scoreboard's the same. He still can't kick a goal straight.
Yeah,
that's what's hurting him.
I'll be honest, that's a bit of an issue. His goal kicking was always an issue.
Was he kicked 218 or something this year already?
Well, I think him and Bont were the only people who were like under 30% effectiveness last year or something, whatever it was. But just he's just not kicking goal. Like, that'll turn. Like, his kick-to-handball ratio was a bit out of whack at the start of the year, but I just don't think things are as bad as it was. But people just seem to hate Jack Billings now. I just can't understand it. He's still a Jet. He still gave you a 130 in the first week. Like, it's just they've played some tough matchups. Like, they've played Adelaide, they've played Geelong. They're hard matchups. So
I think they've got a sneaky chance down at Hawthorn this week as well.
Well, you know, things are...
They beat him last year.
Things can really only get better. So I think he's a really good buy. People seem super low on him. They don't trust him. He's playing forward. Well, that's what he does. He plays forward. Anyway, I think he's a great buy. Jonah, you've got him in our home league. Would you listen to offers for Jack Billings?
If something came along that, you know, perked my interest, of course. I'm always looking to wheel and deal. And, you know, I've got a pretty stacked forward line with the GOAT and Jesse Hogan and Robbie Gray. So I can certainly flip a Jack Billings if it gets me something better. Whereas in my midfield, where I'm slightly weaker, in my opinion, and look to upgrade one of those midfielders there.
Yeah, and that's the sort of move you can be looking to make. I actually traded Jesse Hogan out of my salary cap team this week.
Oh.
Ooh. For Brett Delidio. Good. And a good trade-out option. Good trade-out option for your draft teams. Enough of that fake football, whatever it was.
Salary cap. Blech.
Yeah, Sideshow Bob. Sideshow Ben Brown. Get him out of there. You flipped the greatest thing to come out of Tasmania since the Statesman's last visit to Melbourne. All right. Big time Benny Brown's just gone absolutely ham. Everyone loves him. And I love watching him play. I think he's just fantastic. Tore Hawthorn apart today. And if he didn't have that first game in the monsoon, he'd be averaging something like 130 in Supercoach and over 100 in Dream Team. Hasn't had the toughest draw. In fact, we even said Hawthorn is not actually a tough matchup for key forwards. So coming up on the dock, he's got Port Adelaide, Sydney, Richmond, GWS. They're all bad matchups. I'm just saying now's a great time to sell a key forward. Everyone loves him. I think he can actually get some great value if you need to strengthen up another part of your field. I don't think he's going to maintain this torrid pace.
No, completely agree. I do agree. I love watching Benny Brown play. He's certainly a great product that came out of Tasmania. And finishing it off, we've got the Statesman Skippers, where he's going to give us a unique look at his captain this week and a bit of a risky one as well.
So we obviously look at the major loophole option, and obviously they've got the best two clubs playing each other on the Friday night, the mighty Western Bulldogs against Carlton. It's a clash for the Titans on the weekend. Looking for it. And let's face facts, Western Bulldogs, they're Jekyll and Hyde this year. They've either absolutely shocking or sensational, while Carlton just haven't been much at all. So you've got to think from this game that Cripps will be tagged. Cruiser most likely will miss a game. So you're not going to get that... unique ruck option where they can score a heap against the Bulldogs like they have been recently. So probably looking for that loophole option, your best two would be McRae and McLean. So the two MCs will be the most likely to have really big days. So if you've got McRae or McLean, put the big VC on them and enjoy that. Now, the captain risky, this is all for Steve because we've been into him about Zorko. It's Captain Seedsman, The man of seed himself has been in great form. He's playing against the Gold Coast, who have been giving away huge points to halfback flankers and wingers. So you think Hugh McCluggage's highest score for the year was this weekend against the Gold Coast, 99. Alex Witherden, his best game for the year is 123. Young Berry, best game for the year, 119. Even Cuts got the ton. So Seedsman, who's been in great form, he's going to absolutely smack this game. So look for 130+. It's a Captain Risky, the man of seed.
I'm shattered, Statesman. I know I've got Seedsman everywhere and I've been pumping him up, but you're Captain Risky. You've left out the obvious. Your loophole option, I mean. Your loophole.
The greatest Carlton player ever to play?
The best Carlton midfielder and the best Kerno.
No, definitely not.
Averaging about 100.
I will say, I'm scoring well for my number one Captain Risky of the week. Last week it was Paddy Cripps. Everyone thought he'd get tagged out of that game, but 138 for Captain Risky last week. So let's have the seed man go.
But if there's no Cruiser this week, Timmy English, he could come into play. Turned up against Sandy Balls on the weekend. So another Captain Risky, quite possibly. A lot of people talking him up. Well, that wraps up the show for this week.
What are we doing, the top five? We had a top five. Did you guys not do it?
I forgot all about it, but I can make five war movies off the top of my head, no worries.
Well, that's why I thought that, you know, Anzac Day, you're a big war movie buff, aren't you, Jono? You love the war.
I love my war movies.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot all about it, but that's all right. I've got my top five. You go ahead and I'll just quickly jot them down.
Well, I sort of threw in a top five military. I'm not actually a big fan of war movies per se, but I got number five, I got Buffalo Soldiers. By the Australian director Gregor Jordan. Quite like that one. Number four, the Kelsey Grammer masterpiece, Down Periscope. Number three, I've got The Great Escape. If you don't love The Great Escape, you can get stuffed. Number two, Sergeant Bilko. And number one, it has to be Stripes.
I'd have Stripes in there, but it's not my favourite. It's not my favourite, it's still a good one. What have you got there, Statesman? Your top five?
Well, I didn't go a top five, but I just thought I'll do military linking. So, and I'll just go on the top three. So number three, and I've looked at the humour side of things because it's always the way I go anyway. So number three was Sean Connery's Russian accent in The Hunt of Red October. the second one, which was an absolute classic, but probably only people of our generation understand, the new generation have probably never seen that, is Dad's Army, because it was the ridiculous, and Dad's Army just covered it so well, because it was just dad joke after dad joke after dad joke. And last but not least, my favourite program of all time, and this series was just fantastic. And it is more related because it's World War One. Is Blackadder Goes Forth, some of the greatest writing ever in history and the funniest TV show ever made.
Not bad at all. With my top five, I do agree with you on Stripes there, Steve. A TV show I do have is Steven Spielberg's Band of Brothers. If you've never seen that, it's a good 10-part war series based on the 101st Airborne. Coming at number three is Platoon. Can't get enough of that movie. You've got a great cast there with Charlie Sheen and
Tom Berenger.
That's his name. Thank you very much. I was just trying to think of him. We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson, a Vietnam War. A bit controversial. No one likes talking about the Vietnamese War. But another one, number one, I've loved this movie. Stanley Kubrick, Full Metal Jacket. We had the passing of Lee Emery just this week as well. Probably the greatest role he's ever played, but just a really good movie. And a great performance as well by Lee Emery.
No love for Three Kings, Jono. Got to love three kids.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's the top five, Steve. I can't have everything in there.
And, of course, ranking above them all is Shooter. Not really a war movie, though.
What about
military
Pearl
connotations
Harbor,
in it? What about... Oh, get stuffed.
I've never seen it.
It's a love story.
I love the line when I heard someone made it. Didn't they lose?
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
It's
no interest.
It's horrible. It's a love story.
Right.
With action in the background. Yeah. But you could have Commando with Arnie in there. I know you don't like it, Steve. But
well, there was a few you could have had. I mean, Predator, theoretically. It's...
Theoretically, yeah.
Theoretically. Shooter.
Rambo. He's a retired Rambo. Number three, maybe.
What about the classics, Bridge Over River Kwai?
You're too old, Statesman.
Dam Busters.
Guns of Navarone. That's the Wild Bunch. That's a Western. Can't have that one.
Yeah,
all the Great Escape.
Steve said that.
No. I said that.
Oh. Yeah.
You probably could.
All right, we're rambling now. We better wrap this up.
Did you want to start talking about players' hair again, like we do on Twitter for about 3 hours the other night?
No.
Did you see David Swallow's hair today? That's got to be in there.
Oh, thick.
Nice. All right, we'll continue this conversation on Twitter, but thank you very much for listening. If you do want to follow us on Twitter, you can check us out at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. We have the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, also on Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there as well. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.